Mayor Williams, thanks so much for joining us.
It's a pleasure to be with you.
You know, some politicians are great at relationships and big picture messages, but aren't so deep on policy. They figure they can hire staff for that.
Right. But
before you ran for elected offices, you had a lot of experience in and knew a lot about government. How useful was your depth of policy understanding when you became mayor?
You're right. I had a lot of policy experience. I'd worked in economic development in different cities and finance, and altogether had worked at the local, state, and federal level, and so brought a lot to the table. And I'd say that in all jobs, I think having an understanding of the intersection of actually making things work and the politics is important, because I don't think they're in two separate buckets. But certainly running a city, I think it's extraordinarily important, because there's no one lower in elected office in America than the mayor, and you have to understand the details, I think, to be an effective mayor.
You said no one is lower in elected office than mayors. What do you mean by that?
No one is closer to the people. I think people don't hold you responsible in your city for probably military policy. They won't get on you about whether Netanyahu should have been here or not. But pretty much outside of that, they'll hold you responsible, regardless of your actual portfolio.
For everything, whether
for
they're...
everything, because you're the face, for better or worse, you're the face for how government works in that neighborhood.
And what happens to people, whether it's the economy or the weather?
I think it's what matters to people. It's the quality of their life. It's why people choose to move or stay in a city or gripe or complain or rejoice in the city.
Now you had appointed roles in government for a long time before you were elected mayor.
Yeah.
Can you give us a sense of skills that you found you needed, that you specifically needed as an elected official, as mayor, as opposed
to being an appointed official? I had been in elected office while I was a student at Yale in New Haven on the local board of aldermen, and had been active there. But, it was kind of like I wasn't on Broadway. I was kind of literally New Haven to Broadway. So, I didn't really have that big picture experience. And I think one of the things you had to learn in actually being in city politics was the bank shot. And what I mean by that is, just as a bank shot can be very effective in pool, you always think the direct shot's better. Sometimes it's the bank shot. A lot of times in politics, you think the direct play is better. Sometimes it's a bank shot. A great example was I tried to move the University of the District of Columbia. It was a spectacular failure. One of the reasons was, is I didn't drum up support from allies and counterparties, get them to raise the issue, and then ride on their kind of wave to kind of move the project along. You can't always do things single-handedly. So the bank shot's a great example of that.
Yeah, it looks like it's somebody else's idea, and you're providing energy to it.
Exactly.
Mayor has to fill a lot of jobs. How important is picking great senior staff?
I initially made the mistake in my transition because we were coming out of control board period. I had just been given back responsibility for the city. I realized I had spent way too much time on policy and strategy and all this, and not enough time on the people who would make it work. So I would raise a question with you. Would you rather have a car and be looking for a map, or would you rather be sitting on a chair in the middle of the road with a map and have no car? I'd rather have a car and then figure out where the map is, right? The people are your engine. They're your car. They're going to get you where you're going. They are so important. I would say 70% of your initial work are hiring the very best people.
Yeah, and that's, I don't know if there's any magic to it, but what did you learn about finding the right people?
One thing I think you learn about hiring the best people is, certainly, if you can find someone with specialty expertise and they're a great leader, then obviously you want to find that person, but you're not always going to find that person. So you want a great leader, and assume, and I think it's always a good assumption, that great leader will be able to learn that particular skill set or learn that particular suite of, activities. A great example is down here right now. You've heard a lot about our trouble with our metro. The big argument about picking the new metro director is, do you pick a transportation person or do you pick a change leader? I'm of the school that you pick a change leader who can learn. Would you rather have the risk he's not going to learn enough or she's not going to learn enough transportation, or they are well-versed in transportation, but they don't know anything about affecting change? I mean, obviously, I'd rather have the former.
How much of being a successful mayor is being a public figure, somebody who, you know, inspires citizens, you know, connects with them emotionally?
I remember getting lessons from people, for example, to go in. I would be initially horrified to go into a dinner bank, you know, big banquet with, you know, 100 tables. I'm like, God, what am I going to do? And I got schooled literally by, you know, pros who would tell me, you know, it's kind of like the Coast Guard looking for the raft. You do a grid pattern around the tables or circular patterns. It was funny, you know, and I forced myself to do it. I forced myself to go out there and interact with the other politicians. And then in my own way, kind of sometimes lecture-ish mode, you know, sit down in countless neighborhood groups and talk to people and educate them about what we were doing. And again, I think people probably maybe at a local level are more accepting, again, of the different quirks of different leaders.
I guess being real is important, being genuine.
When you're, I don't think you have to be pretty. You don't have to be the pretty girl or boy to be mayor. They want you to, I mean, a great mayor was Tommy Menino in Boston. Greatly underrated mayor. And I mean, would you listen, would you have Tommy Menino, you know, like narrate one of the great histories? No, because he wasn't a great speaker in the classic sense, but he was a fabulous mayor.
Because he connected people when he needed to.
Because he connected people, because he did the basic things that Boston needed, and at the same time, in my humble opinion, made it a better city, a more diverse city, a more tolerant city.
This is related, but talk a bit about building and maintaining political relationships. People that sometimes, you know, you may not like or even respect. How important
is that? I mean, I love my successor. I thought he did a great job, but I think sometimes you... I'm speaking of Adrian Fenty, who made great changes, particularly in the education front. But I think sometimes you make a mistake. You have to understand when you're engaging with the other politicians or with, you know, to use the different constituencies, there are two types of meetings, and don't confuse them. There's a meeting where I go in there, and my goal in the meeting, let's say, is to get a deal with the Department of Public Works on how we're going to fix potholes this season. Okay, I go into the meeting, I have a goal for the meeting, and I want to come out having accomplished my goal. There are other meetings where there's an important group of clergy people in the city. They want to have a meeting with the mayor to say that they had a meeting with the mayor. The meeting may not be pretty. They may have a number of complaints, some of them justified, some of them unsubstantiated. But the point of the meeting is really the symbolism of simply having the meeting. And that symbolism is important in and of itself. And I think a lot of people make the mistake of saying, oh, I don't want to have worthless meetings. It's just appearances. Yeah, hello. Yeah, it is appearances. And those appearances are important in building those relationships.
And in terms of building relationships with council members, it's at the times when you take your ties off, you're having a drink or a meal or just sitting
around. And also when you're mayor, you have to understand everybody wants your job. There's nothing you can do about it. And you have to let the council vent. You know, I used to, it's like that old guy, Red Adair, who used to cap oil wells. You have to kind of let the oil well blow a little bit, and then you deal with it, you know, and you go into the meeting with the council, let them blow and rant. You know, and the council people, they would be sitting there eating their biscuits, and each one of them kind of at seriatim go around the table, and they'd all talk, tell me how I had the worst administration in Western civilization, and I'd always remember looking up and saying, okay, I'll get back to you on that. I mean, what am I supposed to say? You know?
But doing that meant that when you really needed to get something done, you had a relationship that you could bank on?
Yes, it meant, I think, the council, while we disagreed, and sometimes it could sound personal, I think if you asked them, they would say, I made a constant effort to reach out to them, to collaborate with them, to include them, to treat them as equals. That is so important in a mayor. Look, you're ultimately the leader. You have to understand that ultimately and sometimes unfairly, you're going to be given credit for everything that's good. Now, obviously that's a kind of opposite of you get, you know, the blame for everything that's bad. But because you get the credit for everything that's good, that's all the more reason to allow other people to take the lead and to take ownership of the important things. Don't try to hog all the glory. And I see so many mayors try to do that and they get in trouble. Sit back, relax, chill out, because in the long term, again, sometimes unfairly, people are going to remember you.
And when people, when other elected officials see you giving them credit, that's they're going to remember it.
You know, when I was mayor, I always invited Marion Barry to come to whatever, whether certainly if it were in his area. And if he had anything to do with the origin or the antecedents of any project we were doing, right, I would always invite Marion. Marion would come in, and inevitably, you could ask Councilman Jack Evans this. We go to Robert F. Kennedy Park. This park was a disaster. We repaired the park. We got it back on its feet. We went for the opening where we, Jack and I, had together rebuilt this park. Marion always had beautiful timing of coming in at just the right time. He would come in like, you know, the conquering, you know, centurion. He would be giving a standing ovation. Now, again, rightly or wrongly, Marion was in charge when the park went to hell. And yet, he's hogging all the credit. And yet, I'm not trying to make myself a saint. I thought it was important to include him in all these events. And that's just the way he was, you know.
How important are media relations, and how well did you handle it?
My idea was that basically, to quote Tom Sherwood of the NBC WRC down here, you know, not only did the city government leak, it was a colander. I mean, this notion of, I can't speak for, again, higher elected officials, but as a mayor, trying to control leaks is ludicrous. So what we try to do was essentially get ahead of it by trying to be as transparent as possible. And what I told my people was, look, don't write anything you don't expect to see in the Washington Post. Because everybody at the Washington Post, look at Bernstein and Woodward, right? They were metro reporters. Basically, everybody is beginning their career blowing you up, and just deal with it.
How important is just stamina in that job?
Enormously important. One of the reasons why I didn't run again for a third term is because I had been CFO of the city under the control board for almost about 3.5 years, and you're mayor for 8 years of a city like Washington, D.C. In the circumstances and times we face, that's a lot of time. And as I told the editorial board of the Washington Post, you should not do this job. Certainly Washington, D.C., and I can, as I've talked to other mayors, I think they'd agree with me. Don't do the job unless you're willing to work regularly from 7 in the morning until 11 at night, having 3 breakfasts, 4 lunches, receptions, 2 dinners, siren wailing, getting you from one place to another, you know. Yep.
And long meetings and time going over.
Long meetings, thank you notes, endless thank you notes to people, you know, keeping in touch with people, acting outside yourself. That's another thing I learned is, I'm not an extroverted person. You learn that when you're mayor, you're representing the people. You're in a role. Shut up, suck it up, and act out of type.
Hmm. You know, in your city and in Philadelphia, we have, you know, growing affluent neighborhoods with all kinds of prospects for new residential and commercial development, and a lot of poverty and citizens who resent gentrification and want you to focus on their needs and neighborhoods. How much tension did you feel in addressing both constituencies?
Oh, enormous amount of tension. You know, I came into the job, again, having been the CFO of the city during the financial recovery. And I'll never forget, while I was CFO, I went to talk to Bob Reischauer, who was a former head of the Congressional Budget Office. But I never forget, he told me, you know, one of the things in local government you have to understand is you really, I mean, if it's arguable that the federal government has any kind of influence on macroeconomic policy, you know, your short-term influence on macroeconomic policy at a local level is really limited, and the road to perdition is trying to overpromise and underdeliver. You know, I mean, in the old school, in the earlier generation of mayors, and I say this as a compliment, Mayor Barry was one of the earlier generation of advocate mayors, and they were brilliant as advocates. And my generation and later, we're not advocates, we're doers. And I'm not saying the other guys weren't doers, we're just trying to, you know, that's not what people are expecting of us. And to say that you can, under your own power as a mayor, unilaterally provide the training, the education, and the jobs all at the same time without an enormous amount of time and effort, and with particular emphasis on time, I think you may be, I think you're not being honest with your people. I think you, it is your, I'll put it this way, to get the economy going, you have to bring in new investment. One of the ways we brought in new investment was beginning the efforts now continuing and underway to bring 100,000 people to the city. The good news is you're bringing a good, healthy tax base to the city. The good news is you're bringing the good side of gentrification, which everybody likes. The flip side of gentrification is displacement. No one likes that.
I'm going to ask you to just look back on the experience and give me a great moment and a low moment. What do you think your biggest mistake was, if you can recall one?
I think my biggest mistake is I had there were many. I mean, it's got a lot to choose from. But biggest mistake was I had endorsed and supported a road race over at RFK without really going out talking to the neighborhoods over there near RFK.
That's the old RFK Stadium.
Yeah. The old RFK Stadium, mm-hmm, with all the parking lots. We had a kind of Grand Prix race there, which sounded good to me, but I didn't live near RFK, and I didn't bother to go over there and talk to the people. That's one mistake among many. The highest point was when we brought baseball back, and the first game was being played at RFK. And they introduced me, and I was expecting, you know, apropos of, you know, sports events in general, I would get booed by everybody, and I got a standing ovation. That I'll never forget that.
A lot of stories of mayors getting booed at stadiums. Have been a moment of triumph.
Well, I'm sure if I went out now, I'd get booed, but that was at one moment. That's why I prize it so much, yeah.
Mayor Williams, thanks so much. It's been helpful.
Enjoy talking to you. Enjoy listening to you.